I really didn't have like a message in its entirety. I had this verse that had been kind of rolling around in my heart and kind of meditating on it. And so I really want to kind of dive into this verse. And it's a familiar passage. When we read it, you will find yourself like going back to your childhood and the green felt deal where they put the little stuff on there, the felt board. Like you'll find yourself going back to that because you've heard it before. But I hope as we read it in a different translation tonight that it will breathe some new life into this passage. And it is about love. So sorry, we haven't moved on. What more could we say? I think we could continue preaching until Jesus comes about love and still not exhaust the subject. You understand what I'm saying? There is a new translation that I've discovered, and I think I've learned this from you guys. Usually I'm up to date on, the new and upcoming kind of stuff, but Pastor Matt or Pastor Susie turned me on to this translation. It's the Passion Translation. Have you heard of it? The Passion Translation? Man, this is like a phenomenal translation, and I want to read to you a little bit about what the translator has written about this translation, Dr. Brian Simmons. He said, "The purpose of the Passion Translation is to reintroduce the passion and fire of the Bible to the English reader. It doesn't merely convey the literal meaning of words. It expresses God's passion for people and his world by translating the original life-changing message of God's word for modern readers. Our goal is to trigger inside every English-speaking reader an overwhelming response to the truth of the Bible. This is a heart-level translation from the passion of God's heart to the passion of your heart." And I love that because it really fits in with our whole theme this year of the love of God, because he has a passionate love for us. And you'll find this, it's infused throughout the Passion Translation of the New Testament. Love is the theme, it's a central theme, and you'll see this even as we read tonight. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. And this is a passage about the fruit of the Spirit. So this up in maybe the New King James or NIV or some other kind of normal translation. We'll see that it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is..." I'll give you a hint. Can you name them? Anybody? Love. Okay, there we go. I'll give you a hint. Love. It starts with an L and ends with an of. Love. Joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. Man, Tanya came in like a wrecking ball. What in the world? Boom! Hit him with all nine, as it were. And how many of you, like when you were growing up, maybe you're in the preschool class and the teacher's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and she likens love to, like love is an apple, or love is like a lime, and you put the lime on the thing, or likens like patience to a pear, and peace like a peach, and kindness like a kiwi. See what I did there with the alliteration. You remember that, like, and you put the different fruits up there to say that this is the fruit of the Spirit. And I read this passage in the Passion Translation, and it really kind of rocked my world. This may not be a new revelation for many of you, but for me, it kind of hit me between the eyes, and it really kind of set something off in me. But so let's read this and see if you have the same response. Galatians 5:22, the Passion, it says, "But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions." Let me read that again. I just want you to listen, let it sink in, okay? "But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless." So I've always, ever since I was a little kid, thought that the fruit of the Spirit was nine different types, okay? Like, it seemed to have complicated some things about the Holy Spirit and his character and who he is, right? It's like, if I'm not being patient with someone, then, well, obviously the Holy Spirit isn't working in that area of my life. And so we've tended to compartmentalize the Holy Spirit and into these fruits. If you're not being kind, then, well, the Holy Spirit, you know, are you full of the Holy Spirit? And so we've likened it to this, but think about it though. And this is so logical. A tree produces one kind of fruit, with rare exception. A tree produces one kind of fruit. Apple trees produce apples. Pear trees produce pears. Peach trees produce. Blueberry bushes produce. Right, so you don't see a blueberry bush producing apples, peaches, pears, blueberries, strawberries. You don't see that kind of fruit come from one tree. It's like we have viewed the Holy Spirit as kind of this fruit cocktail. It's no wonder we get so much fruitiness in the church. With an improper perspective of the Holy Spirit, any of us can become a fruity pebble. You know what I mean? The footnote in the Passion Translation Bible says this: there's clear textual inference that the fruit, singular, of the Holy Spirit is love, with the other virtues displaying aspects of the greatest quality of spirit life, agape love. Doesn't that just make sense? Why have I not seen this? It was such a revelation to me. And maybe I'm just, you know, suddenly now coming of age. I don't know what's happening. But like I seeing this has really revolutionized my thinking about how the Holy Spirit produces things in our lives. Isn't it logical that the fruit of the Spirit is love? Doesn't that make sense? That the incorruptible seed of the Word of God is producing God Himself within us. God is love. And the seed of the Word of God planted in our hearts would produce love. Divine love in all its varied expressions. And all of these different characteristics are just facets of love. Love isn't just compartmentalized as one piece of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is love. Just as in God is love, the fruit that God produces would be love. The fruit that the Word of God produces in our life would be love. Love is expressed in all the various virtues: joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of those are encompassed in love itself. But love isn't just one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. And that really has, man, I've been meditating on this and thinking about this and letting it kind of sit in. And I don't know how I kind of stumbled upon this. Maybe it was a verse of the day one day on the Bible app, and I just saw that. And I'm like, wow, this is really revelatory. This is mind-blowing. Again, it's simple, and it's like, yeah, you really should have figured this out by now, Nate. Like, don't be so hard-headed. The fruit of the Spirit isn't nine different types of fruit. It's one type of fruit with all these different tastes. It's one fruit. It's love. Isn't that good? So let's look at this in kind of a deeper context of Galatians chapter 5, because there's so much more in here that we can unpack. We'll read this in the Passion Translation. So if you're following along on your Bible app, you can switch over to that translation. We'll put it up on the screen for you. I had to copy and paste these onto our presentation software because the Passion Translation is not available yet for download. So, Galatians 5:1, let me be clear, the Anointed One has set us free, not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. We must always cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. So really, it's in this context of freedom that Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, that they need to recognize that they've been set free and continue to live in that freedom. And how have they been set free? How does the freedom come? Well, it comes from the love of God. It all stems from love. We'll go on to verse 13. It says, beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom in the Holy Spirit. And wouldn't it make sense that love would want you to be free and not in bondage to the enemy, not in bondage to your past or the wounds that you've experienced in your past, but wants you to be wholly and completely free in your relationship with God and in your relationship with others? Wouldn't love want that for you? Absolutely. It says, but don't view this wonderful freedom as an opportunity to set up a base of operations in the natural realm. Don't use it as an opportunity to set up a base of operations in the natural realm. It's a spiritual thing. The love that we're talking about isn't an emotional type of love. It isn't a feel-good, fuzzy kind of love. Yeah, it can produce those types of fuzzy feelings, but this type of love is a love that's unconditional. It's without limits. It's without conditions. It's, I want you free. And even if you hurt me in some way, I love you regardless of your actions towards me. This is a love we don't really understand. Like, I don't know if we even really understand it for us and how much if we realize like how much our sin has hurt God the Father because he had to bruise and punish his son, Jesus, yet he loves us anyway. Like, I think people have this, yeah, obviously they have this consciousness of sin. They recognize what sin produces in their lives. But like, I don't know if we really understand it, like how much he loves us, how much he looked past our faults to see our need, how he views us with the eyes of love. Freedom means that we become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servants of one another, expressing love in all we do. For love completes the laws of God. All of the law can be summarized in one grand statement. Demonstrate love to your neighbor, even as you care for and love yourself. But if you continue to criticize and come against each other over minor issues, you're acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another. It sounds like Paul, he could have posted this on Facebook yesterday. This wasn't written thousands of years ago. This was a Twitter post from Paul the Apostle. If you continue to criticize and come against each other over minor issues, you're acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another. He's saying, this isn't the goal of love. This isn't what love would produce in our lives, death and destruction coming about because you haven't experienced true freedom, or you've only experienced a glimpse of freedom and you've gone back into bondage, and you're allowing the bondage and the wounds of your past to infect you, and so that you infect others with and have this volatile behavior toward your fellow brother and sister in Christ. You're acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another. Listen to that language. That's a wake-up call. But he goes on and says, as you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. And doesn't selfishness, isn't that the root of what produces this kind of volatile spewing and seething and hatred and bitterness and factions? It's cravings of self-life. It's wanting what's best for me. It's wanting everybody to see things my way and adopt my political views. Otherwise, we can't be buddies. We can't be brothers and sisters in Christ. Cravings of self-life. All about me. For your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self-life from dominating you. So then, the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. But when you're brought into the full freedom of the Spirit of grace, you will no longer be living under the domination of the law, but soaring above it. The cravings of the self-life are obvious: sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God. Just chew on that for a minute. Let it sink in. That's the cravings of self-life. The self-life leads to bondage. Self-life leads to being dominated by self and the cravings of sinful flesh. Holy Spirit life, new creation life, is a life born of love, and it leads to freedom from bondage. It leads to healing from the wounds of your past. It leads to soaring high above the world and the ways that it tries to drag you down. And it says, haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? And he's not talking about inheriting heaven. He's not talking about you're going to miss heaven if you participate in these things. He's talking about you're going to miss out on the kingdom of heaven that's on earth, and allowing the kingdom of heaven to come and be at hand within you and your life. Because what happens is you squash your influence when you let your life be dominated by self. When you're in love with your own opinions, when you're only thinking of yourself, when you throw these temper tantrums, are we truly influencing people for the kingdom? And are we truly allowing the kingdom of heaven to flow through us? Because guess what, guys? This life ain't all there is. This life is temporary. It's short. You're not going to care when you're in eternity, whether Donald Trump was president or Hillary Clinton was president. It's not going to make a big flip. It ain't. That's why I don't get caught up in it. I don't care. I don't. I'm living a higher life. When you get caught up in that, you're living a low life. You're living a life low, to the ground, stuck on earth. You're not a citizen of earth, guys. Say that. I'm not a citizen of earth.
I'm not a citizen of
earth. I'm a citizen of heaven.
I'm a citizen of heaven.
That heavenly kingdom is far greater. This is just a blip. This life we live is just a blip, guys. I don't want to be known for the hate that I spew on my social media. I want to be known for love. I want to be known for laying my life down for others. I want to be known for open arms and acceptance and freedom in Christ and living a life dominated by the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't get it right all the time. I have my own thoughts and opinions, and the flesh can get in the way. Trust me, I'm not perfect. But I am striving to know and believe the love of God and allow that to transform the way I think, I act, and believe about myself. And I urge you, I encourage you, I plead with you, please do the same. Do the same. This, Galatians 5, all of this is before he talks about the fruit of the Spirit being divine love and all its varied expressions. And it's not, let's don't put the cart before the horse that you have to, let's get all these things right. Let's, you know, stop our, you know, thinking about ourselves and throwing temper tantrums, and then we can move into the love of God. That's the cart before the horse. The thing is, when you experience and know the love of God, then that influences how you live out your Holy Spirit-dominated new life. Because love, the love of God, the divine love of God, uproots selfishness in your life. The incorruptible word of God in your life, planted in your heart, produces love. I got these weeds in my grass. Ugly weeds. And I bought the weed killer for grass stuff, right? And I feel like I'm talking to like Coleman here last week. Pesticide. Somebody testify. Okay, so I put the stuff in there and I put the application on the lawn. I'm spraying the lawn, you know. I have done that 3 times. And these weeds, they're evil. I promise you, they are being built from the pits of hell themselves, you know. They're coming straight up from the devil. They will not go away. But last year, my grass was a beautiful, beautiful grass. Because I kept putting this, I had this application of weed and feed is what they call. And so instead of me trying to kill the weeds, I was feeding the grass and giving life to the grass and the grass seed. And people would say, I'm not an expert on this, but it seems that if the weeds will die, they'll be healthy, then it will choke out and starve out the weeds. The weeds will die, they'll disappear, they'll diminish. But we've spent so much time trying to change our behavior and change our actions and change the evil things and thoughts that we do, and not as much time pouring in the Word of God, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and allowing that to breed new life and new thoughts and new ideas and new actions within us and produce love within us, because love will overcome. And you know, it says perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love cast out fear. The weed and feed of the love of God will cast out the weeds of fear in your life. And fear is, I mean, it's like a primary motivation for a lot of the bad things that we do, the bad choices we make, the things we say. It really is. And if perfect love would root out fear, and perfect love, as the Word of God goes into your heart, it's going to root out so much of the effects of fear in your life. So these varied expressions of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, would come out and be displayed as we grow in love, as we receive God's love, and in turn, love God and others. We focus so much time and attention and effort on trying to motivate people to change their actions, change their behavior. Preachers have done this for thousands of years. We're gonna say that we're sinners in the hands of an angry God because we want you to change your actions. Your sinning is what we want you to stop. And so we put the cart before the horse. Change your actions, change your actions, change your actions. But you can't change your actions. Your default is evil. Yeah, you can put a Band-Aid on it. You can do a little bit of reprogramming. But apart from having a new default setting, you're going to go back to the old behavior. If you're only focusing on changing the behavior. But if we focus on uprooting the cause of the behavior and replacing it with love, love will make the change. Knowing and believing God's love, that will make the change. It will. And then you'll find yourself being more joyful, being more patient. Not because you're trying to be patient. Oh man, I gotta be patient. I heard that message that one time that said that I gotta be patient. Oh no, I read 1 Corinthians 13 and it said love is patient. And if I'm not being patient, then I must not be loving, or I must not love God or love people. So I can't be patient, then I'm not loving. If you're not being patient, then you haven't truly received God's love. All of these varied expressions of love come out as you receive God's love and you let it permeate you, let it saturate you, let it soak you up, and then it'll just be easy. Like, I was praying today at noon prayer, which you should all come to, and God showed me this, and I thought it would be a good little thing for you to see, right? This This is your life. This is a sponge. And we, at really the core of who we are, we're like the sponge. Like we soak up things around us. It's a wonder, like our brains are this kind of spongy material. Soaking up knowledge and information and experience and those kinds of things. And what happens is when we go through life, when we're trying to live our own way, self-life, it's like we're not soaking up anything. And we're almost the anti-sponge, because a sponge needs to have some water to do a little work, to do some cleaning, to do some scrubbing. But what happens is if people bump into us and they, you know, rub us the wrong way, then we're a little abrasive. You hear that? And it's more, and we can come across abrasive and volatile, and we can be more like sandpaper, doing harm and damage. Instead, we're meant to bring healing and to be washed with the water of the word. And so, and then you have this, which, you know, love is red, obviously. So we're going to put some red in there. And so what I want us to see is that as we, I should have tried this. Here it goes. That was kind of orange. This is us, and this really is God's love, the presence of God. And so what happens is we spend time in his presence. We spend time in his word. We spend time praying. We really are soaking up who he is. We're being saturated by him. And it's interesting what's been taking place in these last few services, Midweek Boost. It's kind of like we come in and we've been dry. We've gotten dry because we haven't spent time in his presence. Ouch. We spend an hour in prayer when they have prayer at church. And I come, you know, every few days. So what's been happening at these last few services is God is really soaking in his love with me. And you've been soaking in his love, being saturated by his love. And how many of you have left feeling better? You left with a word from heaven. That'll keep you going. But what happens is the world bumps up against you. And, you know, there's some pressure there. But what's supposed to happen, as you're saturated with the love of God, you should be oozing his love. Like when the pressure's on at work, the coworker talked to you the wrong way, you're not going to right back at them. No, when they squeeze you, when the pressure's on, what comes out? The love of God. Well, really, this works no matter what substance you soak in. I could be soaking in some dirty, grimy water, and that's funk, that's evil. When somebody rubs up against me, that's what comes out. Because I spent 30 hours last week on Netflix watching something. And so we wonder why our culture and why our world is the way it is. Is it because, you know, we got the evil stuff come over here, the dirty water, and it's being squeezed and it's being dumping all that spewing vomit and bile and all kinds of yuckiness. Even Christians, even believers who should be filled with all the fullness of God, filled with his love, saturated with his love. Yet because we haven't been saturated with his love, we're abrasive. But we spend time in his presence, and when we're squeezed, the love of God comes out. We ooze love. Man, that'll change how you interact with your kids. Change how you speak to your boss, your coworkers, your family members. Because they expect this. They expect this because that's what they're giving. And when they encounter this and when they see your response is love, it's going to cause somebody to take notice. You may be even be surprised. Wait a second, I used to respond in this way. I used to spew this other stuff. When I didn't get my right way, the first thing that would come out of my mouth was cussing. D this and D that and GD this. I'm not saying this was me, but I'm saying this is. What was that that Coleman said last time? Blessing and cursing? Where does it come from? What have we been saturated by? Ephesians 3 in the Passion Translation looks like this. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. And there's meant to be, just as in an infilling of the Holy Spirit, there's meant to be a continual refilling. Because when you come into the presence of God, and you don't have to just come into the presence of God in this building on a Wednesday night when God interrupts our plans so he can get your attention. You're like, this is it. Wait a second. We're singing longer. What is happening? Oh, I love to worship. Oh, Lord, I love you. You love me. This is great. Oh, I feel good. And he shakes you up a little bit because you're like, wait, I'm supposed to be here and preaching right now. But it's 8 o'clock and we still hadn't heard any preaching. And we've been praying and we've been soaking in God's presence and you feel better and it affects your behavior for a little bit. Then we get all squeezed out. And we become dry again. No wonder the psalmist wrote, as a deer pants for water, so my soul thirsts after you. It's meant to be a resaturation, a continual resaturation. No wonder Jesus got alone in the presence of the Father. Got up early and drew away to quiet places, the scripture says in Mark chapter 1. To spend time in the presence of God. Because he knew that there would be people. There's going to be some Pharisees. There's going to be some teachers of the law. There's going to be some scribes. There's going to be some Sadducees. And they're going to try to rub me the wrong way. And I can be angry and have righteous indignation, and I can sin not. I can flip over some tables. But he didn't do it out because he was, he hated them. He didn't do it because he was trying to prove a point and make them believe the way he believed. He did it because he knew what the Father said about who he was. And he knew there would be people pulling on him. He knew that there would be, I think, you know, the day that he fed the 5,000, the multiple times that he did that, 5,000, 4,000. He got the plan from heaven that morning when he spent time in the presence of God. And when those people were pulling on him, love of God oozed out. It's a wonder that we don't see as many healings and salvation testimonies and those kind of things. He was moved with compassion. When he was walking through the marketplace, love oozed out of him. What oozes out of us when we're going to the grocery store? Oh, we gotta get the line where the ladies eat. Oh, we're not patient, I can tell you that. You get stuck in the line where the ladies' EBT card ain't working. Hey, I'm being real. I need to get some workers up in here. They know what they're doing. Can't believe that. Oh, don't get me started about the government assistance. Oh, brother. People start spewing this. You hear this in the line. I hope that's not you. Wait, could it be that that lady's card ain't working and God wants to use you to meet a need? Not just a physical need, a spiritual need. But yet, because we're impatient and we're dry, we start doing this. And it's abrasive, and it hurts, and it stings. And you're just tossing gasoline on the fire. That lady's probably already had a bad day. The worker, her day sucks right now. And this is a double shift that she's been working to put food on the table for her kid that's sick at home with the flu. And here you are cussing her out. It's not even her fault. Show a little love. Show a little compassion. Jesus, when he would see that, what would he do? Love, love, love. What can I do for you? I hope this is stepping on your toes a little bit. I hope that you would, in the dry places in your life, recognize that you need to be in his presence and soak in his love. That's going to change the way you behave. It's going to change how you interact with your children. It will. Let's just spend the last few minutes of our service just receiving his love. That's soaking in his presence a little bit. Just stand right where you're at and let's just thank him. Father, we're grateful. Grateful for your love. Yeah, and what a reckless love it is. Yeah, we couldn't earn it. We couldn't deserve it. But your love sought after us. You pursued us. You chased us down. We didn't find you. You found us. You found us. You found us. Because you were seeking to save that which was lost. You were seeking to bring back into your fold that lost sheep. You sought after us and you loved us so much. May we just receive your love. May we receive your love and let it transform us. Father, some of us have been dry. May the thirst be awakened. We're parched and we're dry, a weary land. But our soul, oh, that our souls would thirst for you. Oh, that our souls would thirst for you, Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, produce the fruit of love in our lives. Yeah, and we'll see those things. We'll see joy. We'll see patience. We'll see kindness. We'll see goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. We'll see those things expressed, an expression of divine love in our lives. We yearn and we long for you to produce that kind of fruit within us, the fruit of love. The fruit of love, the fruit of love, the fruit of love. So we commit to spending time in your presence through worship, through prayer, through singing and dancing, through communicating with you, through reading your word and reading your love letter to us. You've got our attention, Lord. And we attend to your word. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your love. Just thank him for his love. Thank you for your love, Jesus. Thank you for your love, Father. Oh, your love. Oh, your love. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, we receive your love. We receive your love tonight. Oh, we drink deep of your love tonight. Fill us up. Fill us up to overflowing. Filled to all the fullness of God. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, you pour into us with your love. Pouring into us with your love, with your love, with your love. Yeah, saturating. Saturating every part, every part, every part. Changing us from the inside out. Infused, immersed in your love. Immersed in your love. Immersed in your love. Baptized in your love. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your love. Yeah, and may your love be on display in our lives. Yeah, when the pressures come, we would ooze love. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When things try to steal our joy, we would ooze love. Love oozing out of us. Oozing out of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your love is more than enough for us. Your love, your love, your love is amazing. Your love is divine. Your love, your love, your love. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, may we wake up every morning, spend time in your presence, downloading from you your love. Your love, being filled with your love every day, every day, every day, every day, filled with your love, filled with your love, Jesus, filled with your love, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for what you've communicated to us tonight, how you've expressed your love in and through us, how we can be an expression of your love to our fellow brother and sister in Christ, and to a lost and dying world around us. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, the Good News Church would be a church full of love sponges. Just pouring out love, squeezing out love on everybody we come in contact with. Everybody that bumps into us, runs into us, brushes up against us. Yeah, they would encounter love. They would encounter the love of God. And that love would change. That love would change the atmosphere. That love would change the environment. Yeah, just as that drop of red food coloring changed the color of that water. Yeah, your love changes the environment around us. Your love changes the atmosphere. Yeah, 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 yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You want change? You want change? You want change at your job? You want change at your school? You want change in your family? Yeah, yeah, love is the key. Love is the key. Love is the key. Love is the key. Changing the environment, changing the atmosphere. Responding in love, motivated by love, fueled by love, because we've received your love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. May we leave here different, changed, better. Never going back, never the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.